It's time to turn the pages. It's time to type it right. It's time to get things started on the most booktational, inspirational Once Upon an Author show. Here's your host, Danielle M. Orsino. Yay!
I have a method to my madness that only I can understand. Harley Quinn. Yep, we're doing another Harley Quinn quote, guys, but it'll make sense when you hear everything that's going on. Welcome to another episode of Once Upon an Author. I'm Danielle M. Orsino, and we're going to dive right into another crazy world and crazy journey of an author's life. Once upon a time, I started this crazy journey. Even after my patient told me to write this story down after telling it to him, I resisted. And I kept resisting. I didn't listen, except the universe has a funny way of steering you back in the right direction, no matter how much you resist. And believe me, I resisted. As I said, the universe will throw a pebble at me, then a little rock, then a brick, and then one of those Wile E. Coyote boulders where he's kind of flattened out. It usually takes the boulder before I listen. But I finally listened, well, kind of, sort of, maybe. I grabbed a journal and I started writing. I had no outline, no plan, and no clue what I was doing. I hand wrote it. And for those out there that still don't believe that I hand wrote this book, if you're watching this live on Facebook right now, let's get into this for a second. Here it is. This is the first draft, pieces of Locked Out of Heaven, right here. Now, if you're listening to this, I'm holding up a big journal with a lot of handwriting. If you go on the YouTube channel after this, or like I said, check out WWDB, you will see this. This is everything I did. In fact, I believe there's a sketch in here. Yep, here it is. This is the Illuminasca choker that I sketched out. So here's everything. This is actually somebody I'm going to talk about. Fleet's original notes. Ooh, I hit the mic. His notes from our first meeting. So there's everything. And to think, if you still don't believe that I handwrite, this is actually At the Heart of War written here. Now, I figured out to do it in smaller journals because I discovered Peter Pauper Press, which is actually from White Plains, where it's from. And I figured out, let's do smaller ones. But yes, I still handwrite everything. I don't know if it's the smartest way to go or the most efficient way, but to me, it works. So that's what I do, and my handwriting changes every page. So it's something only I can read. If somebody picked that journal up right now, they'd have no idea what's going on because it's not in any order. It's not in any chapter order. I even have to sometimes go back and like put pages together because I'll start writing, run into another page and have to flip like 10 pages forward and then pick back up again. So it's chaos. It's just a complete mess. But anyway, when I started, volume one wasn't the book I actually intended to write. It was three books, yes, when I finally got to volume one. But if you know me and you've read any of it, volume one, three books became six books plus two novellas. I kind of Frankenstein the whole series, to be honest with you. And let's face it, if Tolkien can do that with languages, I can kind of put plots together and puzzle piece the whole thing. I mean, it's okay. I can merge them all. I mean, that's how it works, right? I just didn't know. I had no idea what I was doing. It just kind of merged, like I said. And when I started, volume one wasn't the main idea. It was volume two. So technically, I wrote the sequel before I wrote the prequel. You know, it wasn't logical, but Logic and I weren't on speaking terms. And to be honest, I'm not sure if we still are, really. when you think about it. I don't think you can be logical if you're an author. I know there's a bunch of plotters out there, which I didn't know that term. Like people asked me once in an interview, was I a plotter or a pantser? I thought it was a sex term. I had no idea that it meant plotting was doing an outline. Pantser is flying by the seat of your pants. I did not know this. And I looked like a deer in headlights when I was asked this question in an interview because I had no idea what that meant. But apparently I'm a pantser or a chaos writer. My friend Chelsea's a total chaos writer. I mean, she's probably the epitome of it, but I just put things together and then figure it out at the end. I just keep writing and then we see what happens. So like I said, Logic and I, we're not exactly buddies, but that's okay. That's okay, to each their own. Like I say, my process, and I use the term very, very loosely, because process means a set of instructions that you follow, like steps. I don't really have that. I just grab the journal and I write until I hit a question. And then I pick up another journal and I write. And literally, if you saw my back shelf, I have a bunch of those little Peter Popper journals now that are all different pieces of books. And that's how I did it. And then I eventually sit at the computer and kind of, like I said, build the skeleton. Now I put the meat on it. The skeleton is the journal. The computer is the meat. And I start building it out, put the muscle on it. But it's completely disconnected. It's kind of like building an IKEA, piece of IKEA furniture without the instructions and just a bunch of little Allen wrenches. That's my process, quote unquote. It's about as close as I get. If you ask me how many drafts there are, I have no idea. There's drafts upon drafts in that book of the same chapters. Because what I would do, I was watching the show Heroes. I don't know if anybody remembers that. First two seasons, amazing. After that, went off the deep end. I loved how after every episode, it would kind of end and you'd be like, what the heck just happened on that show? They tie up one little thing and then they'd leave you with another piece. And it just kind of kept you going. I loved that idea. So I wanted to do that. I wanted you to end a chapter and go, what is going on? I just got to keep reading, but I'd leave you with something. So there was some piece that was tied up. So it wasn't all a mystery. I wanted you to be satisfied. So what I would do, I would take a scene, and before I'd go to bed, I'd play the scene in my head, like a television show. My thought was, if I'm bored by it, the reader's going to be bored by it. So I would replay the scene over and over until I got it right. Until I was like, okay, I'm interested in this. I'm invested. And I kept my journal by my bed. And I'd write it down. And sometimes I'd be writing, like I said, 2-3 in the morning. But I kept doing this. So I wrote the books more like a TV show, not knowing it. Like I said, I had no idea what I was doing. I just thought about it as, if I'm interested, someone else will be interested. And I do end on cliffhangers. I'm hated for it and I'm loved for it. You know, some people hate cliffhangers, but I don't George R. R. Martin you. My books all came out within a certain time frame. So it was never 2-3 years. I kept it moving because I do realize I'm kind of being a pain in the neck by doing cliffhangers. I know that. So I didn't want to keep anybody waiting too long, was my thought, even when I did this. I was like, okay, I know I'm kind of being a brat. Especially Kingdom Come. I knew what I was doing in that book. If you've read it, you know what I mean. If you haven't read it, hang on to your hats on that one. But that's how I worked everything out. I played the scene in my head, kept doing it until I got it right. Till I thought, okay, I'm interested. And I'd write it down. And this kept building out. Doesn't mean it was in order. That was just a chapter. It wasn't the whole book. It would just be a chapter. And then I kind of move on to the next thing and keep going. I did this until I figured out also the characters. My characters are divas. They just are. They like to do what they do. I kind of say I'm a custodian. They do it. I just write about it. And that was when I even first started. I didn't know. I didn't know who they were going to be, what they were going to do. I did know what characters were going to make it and who wasn't going to make it. Like, I would meet a character in my head and just look at them and go, oh, no, sweetie, you're too good for this world. You're not surviving. I'm so sorry. I always knew who I was killing and who was going to make it. That was never a shock to me when I decided you got to go. I kind of knew that part. Maybe that's from a comic book perspective because, you know, in the comic book world, nobody ever stays dead. I think it's kind of like a soap opera. Nobody ever stays dead. For me, they do stay dead, but you just know. So I kind of always knew. The one thing I thought was I was never going to write like kid characters. I wound up breaking that rule completely, like threw it out the window. Those characters were the only ones that took me by surprise. But I wrote whenever I could, lunch breaks, like I said, late at night, in between shifts. The journals were my lifeline. I kept those with me all the time, which is probably what was good. I didn't have to worry about a laptop, losing anything. The journals made sense. I didn't have to really worry about not having a charge or something like that. I never did the phone thing. I know people swear by Notepad and Wattpad, and I never did that. I liked the muscle action of actually writing. It helped me remember a lot better, and I could pick up where I was and kind of get right back into it. So for me, that worked. I don't know about other people. But I started to just keep going and getting more into the world. I had no idea about world building. People ask me all this question all the time in interviews. How do you do world building? I didn't even know what that meant. I really had no clue. To this day, I still get asked world building, and I'm like, I don't know. I just write and see what happens. I did figure it from a very basic foundation in the sense of I always like to visually see in my mind's eye what they were doing and what it looked like around them. That's just something I had to do. And I do think that comes from comic books, to be honest with you. I like that visual idea. And that did help me. I don't know about anybody else, but that's just me. But I never thought of it in the technical writing terms of world building and plot development. I didn't think about it. I just thought about it in the sense of what would this character do in their day, in their day-to-day life, and then throw things to mess them up. And it kind of worked. And then, like I said, I've always pulled from my day-to-day life. And yes, people I don't like have become villains. That's just how it is. It works for me. But eventually I needed an editor. And this is where I fell for all the scams. I've told you this before. I fell for the writing, the author life coach. And they give you a bill at the end. People who got the book and, you know, the first drafts and were like, we could totally ghostwrite this for you and I'll be a hit. I didn't want to ghostwrite. I wanted to learn how to be better. But to talk about editors, I've just had so many, and none of them really gave me what I needed, except one, which we'll talk about him. They all wanted money or just didn't do their job. And I thought at that point I wanted to get with a publisher. So I knew I needed an editor. I knew that. I knew the book needed to be edited. Like I said, my grammar is just horrible. So I got to one publisher that I really thought I wanted to be published by. And they read it and said, look, it needs some work. Here is a list of editors. Go to them and then come back to us. So I picked up one of theirs. And she got volume 2 because that was the one I really thought was going to sell first. And literally told me to burn it. Did not mince words at all. Sent it back to me. Now, volume 2 was actually one big book. Now it's 3, but whatever. She told me, burn it. Start all over again and burn it to the ground. It was the worst book she had ever read. She had a huge problem with specific scenes, which we'll get into that too, but thought it was the worst thing in the world. Now me, I thought like that was the moment. I thought volume 2 was great. No, honey child, no. If you could see the email I got, I wanted to crawl in a hole and die. I was crying. It was so bad. But once again, the universe, gotta love the universe. This whole thing came back around, which I'm going to tell you about in 1 minute. But first, let's hear from our lovely sponsor, OTP.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the indie publishing process? On the Page Author Services is here to help you. From editing and social media management to marketing and advertising and building your newsletter, we handle all the details so you can get back to what you love, writing. Whether you're an established author in need of personal assistance services or just starting out, we've got the expertise to guide you. Simplify your author journey with On the Page Author Services, where your success is our passion. Visit otpauthorservices.com today and book your free consultation.
Okay. So as I said, the universe has a very funny way of helping me out. So I didn't wind up going with that publisher. After I got this scathing letter back from one of their recommended editors, I kind of went into a hole. Years later, I was on the Tamron Hall show as an indie artist to, you know, indie author to watch and blah, blah, blah. A week later, I go to GalaxyCon, Richmond. And guess who's there? That publisher. Now, they were not impressed that I was on the Tamron Hall show. They could have cared less. They were just like, yeah, okay, that's cute, whatever. Just blew me off, you know. They were like, that's good for you. They have their own stable of authors. They could really care less about one. But I was still like, hey, this is what you're missing out. You know, I was the girl in the revenge dress, but they didn't care. Fine, no problem. I still felt pretty good. I was doing my little victory lap. So I was kind of getting into this whole manifestation thing because I really thought, okay, vibes matter. I'm not 100% into it. I'm just, you know, I was checking around. And a coach contacts me on Instagram. Her name is the same name as the editor. Now, do you think I thought for 2 seconds it could be this editor? No. Offers me a free coaching session. Well, we get on Google Meet and I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, I never met the editor face to face, but her voice sounds familiar. We go through the whole thing and I'm like, yeah, okay. I never continue. Guess who it is? Sends me an email a week later. Do you want to continue? And I'm like, no, thank you. Says, you know what? I remember you. I edited you. Your book was so fantastic. Gives me this whole blow smoke. Tells me how great I was. It was the same editor. Mm-hmm. After totally destroyed my manuscript, here she is, 4 years later, telling me how wonderful I am, remembers my book, thought it was so fantastic. Yeah, I got the email that says otherwise, where you specifically told me to burn it. Burn it, burn it, burn it. Here she is, years later. I did not take the victory lap. I wanted to so badly. I really, really did. I really wanted to be like, look here, lady. I didn't. I blocked her and just left it to that. Now, I was not going to, I thought about not blocking her because I was like, why don't you watch me? But I'm like, you know what? I just don't need the energy. So I didn't. But funny thing, now I'm the greatest thing in the world. So whatever. But I just thought it was kind of funny. I went on to finally meet the editor who I love and adore, Cleet Barrett Smith. He is now my Yoda. He's in every dedication, every acknowledgement is to my Yoda, Cleet. Cleet is wonderful. He was exactly what I needed. He was the one who was like, look, these books got to be broken up. He took me through everything. He's been my developmental editor since. I've known Cleet for about 4 or 5 years now. Totally gets me. He gives me my tough love, but he's also been my lifeline. Because as I said, I've fallen for scams. And the next one I fell for, you've probably heard of this hybrid publisher. I'm not going to mention them right now, but they do hybrid publishing. And which means you don't get paid. You kind of split it with them. It's a whole thing. We'll get into hybrid publishing in another episode. But anyway, they also offer airport bookstore distribution, which is what I was interested in. The book was done. Locked Out of Heaven was done. I was ready to go. They offered it. I sent them everything. Well, they sent me a letter back. They read the book, read the manuscript. It was horrible, they said. But they could make it a hit. Not a great hit, they said. They said this was not going to be a huge moneymaker. For, I believe it was $16,000, they could re-edit the book, repackage it, do a new cover for just a mere 16 grand, that was it, and get it in stores. I wrote them back. I said, no, all I wanted was airport distribution. I don't need these other services. I already have a publisher. I'm all set, blah, blah, blah. They sent me their review. 30 pages of how bad my book was. 30 pages. Once again, the tears came fast and hard. I sent it to Cleet. He was trying to talk me off the ledge because I was on that ledge. Well, he got about halfway through and he realized they were talking about a character's father. Well, he called me and he said, did you read this? I said, I only got past page like five because it was just so bad. He's like, they're talking about Desdemona's father. Well, I never mention any fathers, least of all hers. There's no fathers in the book at all. They went on to talk about mothers and name a mother. I don't name anybody's mothers. Mothers die. They never read the book. The book they were reviewing wasn't even mine. Mm-hmm. It was a scam. Plain and simple. So here I was crying over someone's opinion. Either they didn't read it, didn't care, mixed it up, I don't know. But they were ready to charge me $16,000 to make it better. I wonder what they would have done with my book, to be honest. But it was just another scam. Doesn't mean it didn't hurt. And I did cry. When I mean to cry, there were real tears. There was Kleenex, the whole thing. And Cleet, once again, saved the day. I wound up going with my best friend's publishing company. Big mistake. There'll be a whole episode about that. I realize never mix friendship and finance. It's a bad idea. And I've learned it. And I'm still learning from that mistake, to be honest with you. I'm still learning. But with every mistake I made about writing my first book, it did teach me something valuable. Writing is never about perfection. Cleet said it best. Your first book is your yearbook picture. At the time, you think you're so cool with frosted eyeshadow, a perm, or whatever was in at that point. And you will think it's the hottest senior portrait you ever took. He goes, a couple years go by and you go back and look at it and go, oh my God, what was I thinking? That's your first book. Just what it is. You can't change it. Embrace it. That's writing. It's never going to be perfect. You just have to understand. Go for it. Just do what you do and own it. For a writing tip, just find your process, no matter how unconventional it looks, out of the box it is. Whether it's background music, playlists, coffee rituals, whatever you need to embrace and fuel your creativity, go for it. Make it your own. It's really about you. It's not about anybody else or other what you've heard other authors say works. You just have to look inside yourself and figure your process out. And it might not be a process. Like I said, mine's just, I just write. I don't listen to all the books. To be honest, if I went to school for this, I probably would mess it up trying to be color within the lines. I don't color within the lines well. I'm better just throwing the paint on the wall and seeing what happens. That's how I do it. But before we close this chapter on this week's episode, what's the one misstep in your life that turned out to be a lesson in disguise? What was the one time that you didn't color in the lines that you thought was a mistake, but wound up being a really good lesson or maybe leading to something that was better? Think about it. I know for me, it's been this whole writing journey. If I talked to myself a couple of years ago before this and said, you're going to be a writer, I would have laughed. And I would have had a syringe in my hand and said, no, I'm pumping faces full of Restylane. This is where I'm going. I've spent all this money on prereqs. There is no way I'm going to go write about dragons and angels. Would have been the last thing I thought about. I probably would have laughed in my own face and said, no. And then said, you need some Restylane, by the way, you know, and done my own self-deprecation thing and been a little too hard. You just have to understand your plan doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go. I know mine hasn't. Trust me on that one. You have to embrace the chaos at times. And we're going to get into chaos on next week's episode. And I'm going to give you a little teaser for next week. I suck at writing sex scenes. Through this writing process, I have learned I'm really bad at it. Really bad. It took me a long time to get through my first one, which is why there is no smut in volume one, because I figured I couldn't do it. I was way too embarrassed. Now, if you're intrigued by no smut, you can always go back and read volume one. You can find Locked Out of Heaven, Thine Eyes of Mercy, and soon From the Ashes on your Kindles and in your paperbacks, wherever books are sold, Amazon. If you just can't wait and you need to find out how the entire series goes, you can find them on Audible or wherever you get your audiobooks. If you want to reach out to me, because I will be doing a Q&A episode for Christmas Eve and you want to get your questions answered, hit me up on Instagram at DM Orsino Author. You can also catch me on Facebook on the same handle. And you can go to my YouTube channel to check out these videos if you didn't catch them live here on Facebook at Danielle M. Orsino Author, where all of these little chats will be. And like I said, you can always hit me up for any other questions you have on Instagram about the Fae, about writing, whatever it may be. But we're going to continue this conversation next week. And I'm going to pick up on, like I said, how bad I am at writing sex scenes, the chaos that ensued once book one was finished. And like I said, I finished them all at the same time. The publishing world getting in, which is not what you think it is at all. There's no cash advances anymore. That world is gone. You're not sitting in a cabin anymore, sitting on like a $5,000 advance, thinking, oh, the world's great. It's just going to come to me now. No. And writing the book is only the first little piece. Marketing, marketing, marketing. I will catch you guys next week on Once Upon an Author, and we will continue this conversation. Until then, be well, everybody, and a great start to the holiday season. Have fun.